You're listening to a sermon from Church of Christ at Treaty. For more resources, check out cctreaty.org.
Well, we are in a series going through Romans, and we're in Romans chapter 3, and I don't know about you, I really, really enjoyed the worship today. Thank you, Alec, and your team. That song, By Faith, thinking about what God has done and what God is doing and will do. I've been studying in the book of Romans a whole lot and learning a whole lot. And one thing that I found recently was that the animal, the impala, is an incredible animal. This animal can jump about 30 feet high, and it can go about 40 feet long when it jumps. So, I mean, just picture that, how incredibly skilled this animal is, that it can get 30 feet in the air and it can go about 30 to 40 feet long in a jump. But here's what's crazy is that animal can be contained by a 3-foot high fence, right? So you go to the zoo, you can see an impala and they put a 3-foot high fence around it to contain it. Here's what they do. They put so much greenery, so much shrubbery, and so many things in view on the other side of the fence. And here's what happens, friends. We sing, by faith we saw, by faith we saw, by faith we saw. We walk by faith and not by, we walk by and not by, we walk by and not by sight. We can say that till we're blue in the face, but how often are we crippled because we can't see? And here's what they learned about the impala. If you can prevent the impala from seeing what's 30 feet away, it will not jump. They can keep an impala contained by putting a 3-foot high fence around it and blocking the view of where it's going to land. And friends, let me tell you, the enemy is putting us all across America in cages that are 3-foot high, and we can't see where God's taking us, and so we don't move. We walk by and not by. We walk by and not by. Come on, let's start walking, friends. Because God's word is teaching us, Romans is challenging us, Paul is moving us. And last week in Romans 3, we talked about redemption. Jesus is our redeemer. We talked about atonement, that God covers us by the blood of Jesus, that we are made whiter than snow, and we are atoned for. In Christ, he's our atonement, and he is our justification, which is the opposite of condemnation. There is now, therefore, no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because he is our justification. And I have good news that this message is really short. Can I get an amen? I had to warn the youth minister, who's usually ready for a long one. I said, this might be intern style, 12 minutes and we're out of here. And I know most of you in your hearts are going, amen, we're going to be at the fried egg before the Baptist. This is great. So open your Bibles to Romans chapter 3, verses 27 to 31. In the text, we're going to find ourselves focusing on justification, because that's what Paul's talking about in Romans chapter 3. And so if you read the first several chapters of Romans, you see Paul talking about our sin and our wrath and our disastrous need for him, and talking about how we should face condemnation. Because justification, though, is the reversal. It's the opposite of our condemnation because of what Jesus did in our lives. And so Paul begins the letter with all the bad news, getting it out of the way, saying, Ryan, you're a bad dude. There's nothing good inside of you. You're bad. You're all bad. You're all sinful. And then he comes in chapter 3 with good news of justification in Christ alone. If you've missed any of these sermons, I would encourage you to watch them on our website. They all build on top of each other. You can listen to them on Apple Podcasts. If you don't want to look at me, you can just listen. You can listen to them on Spotify as well. But it's really important that you're following along with us. And today we're going to talk about the implications of our justification in Christ Jesus. I don't want to insult your intelligence, but an implication is just simply something that follows a logical consequence. We can draw from the previous information and we can imply that something else is also true. And so because of what we've learned from Paul through God's word, in the first three chapters of Romans, specifically last week, about redemption, justification, and atonement, we know that the text today in 27 to 31 also has to be true. We can make that implication. And so today, Paul's going to give us three implications, practical things we can imply and do because we are justified by faith alone. So let's read the text, and then we'll pray and ask God to challenge us and encourage us. Starting in verse 27 of chapter 3, Paul says, "Where then is boasting? It is excluded. Because of what law? The law that requires works? No, because of the law that requires faith, because we walk by and not by. For we maintain that a person is justified by faith apart from the works of the law." Or he says, "Is God the God of Jews only? Is he not the God of Gentiles too? Yes, of Gentiles too. Since there is only one God who will justify the circumcised by faith and the uncircumcised through the same faith, do we then nullify the law by this faith? Not at all. Rather, we uphold the law." So the first implication that we're going to dive into in 27 and 28 is that we must be humble. We absolutely must practice humility as followers of Jesus. Paul says, and I'll read this again, "Where then is boasting?" It's a question. Where is it? It is excluded, he says, but because of what law? He asks the question, is it the law that requires works? No, it's not. It's because of the law that requires faith. For we maintain that a person, and we maintain that because Paul has said it and Jesus has justified us, is they are justified by their faith apart from the works of the law. The first implication that Paul reminds us of is that all of our boasting should not exist. That our boasting should be excluded. Paul reminds us that the truth of justification, listen, we're saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. And because of that, we should be unmistakably humble. Amen? There is nothing that I did to earn this or deserve this. I don't. And so we practice humility. The truth of God's grace in our justification by faith is a free gift that God offered to us in his son Jesus on the cross. And it should call each and every one of us to our knees in thankfulness and gratitude and humility to remove all pride from our lives. There is nothing in us worth saving. My kids, we have this box. It's like a box of questions, and we pull questions out and we answer them at dinner time. And one of the questions was, if you knew that your house was gonna burn down and you could save three things, not people, what would you go in and get, right? It's just exercise of thinking about, like, what would you go save? But there's nothing in us that would cause God to say, "I would save Ryan," right? There's nothing inside of me that would cause a perfect, holy God to say, "I'm gonna go back and get Ryan." Yet that's what he did. Paul asks, where is this boasting? What is boasting? It's us exalting ourselves, bragging about something we've done. It's like looking in the mirror and being like, "Man, I look good. Man, I've done a good job. I'm really crushing it when it comes to life." And see, Paul says, where is it? In relationship to the free grace of God, where is your bragging rights? There is none. We should be walking and exercising humility. Like Paul says in Philippians, that we're, as Jesus was, serving others and considering others far superior to ourselves. Paul reminds us, you can't brag about it. It's the idea that we slam the door on pride, that there's nothing in our salvation that we brag about outside of the name of Jesus. I will boast in one thing and one thing alone, and that's the name of Jesus. We are saved by works, but it's not ours. It's the work of Jesus on the cross that saved us. It's the sinless life, the substitutionary death of Jesus that saves us and allows us to escape the wrath of God that we deserve. It's the perfect work of Jesus that's imputed on us that justifies us through Christ. So let us always be humble. When we think about standing up and being proud of our accomplishments. When we think about standing up and being right on Facebook, let me give you some advice. Sit down and be humble. Because you didn't do anything. Don't tell people what you did to be saved. Tell them what Jesus did to save you. Because Jesus is our rescuer. And he's coming for us. And when they would sit around the dinner table and they would say, well, who would you go back for? God says, I'd go back for you. If I knew that the house was gonna burn down, I'd go get my kids. So let us be humble. The second thing Paul says is that we should be one. If you want to take notes, you could say we should be one. We should be unified. The Beatles said we've got to come together, right? We've got to be together. We've got to be one. Paul said in chapter 3, verse 29 and 30, or is God the God of the Jews only? Is God the God of men only? Is God the God of Republicans only? Is God the God of Americans only? Is not the God of Gentiles too? Yes, of Gentiles too. Since there is only one God who will justify the circumcised by faith and the uncircumcised through what? The same faith. The second implication after our reminder to be humble is that all distinctions are removed. There are no classes of believers. There is no honors class in following Jesus. There is no special needs class in following Jesus, which I would be in that one. But there are no classes. There are no levels. If you've been justified, you've been fully justified. Amen? That he's not holding on to some of it. He's not measuring you up against other people's justification. All who are justified are equally justified. No one has more justification than another person. If you've been imputed with the righteousness of Christ Jesus through a personal relationship with him, there's no difference between you and any other believer who has put their trust in Jesus. And you're like, yeah, well, that's true, but we do try to still level it out, right? Because we're like, well, what about the person on their deathbed they come to Jesus and they've only been a Christian for 10 minutes and then they die? The same justification. Because you were a Christian for 35 years, you didn't earn it. You didn't earn it. Stay humble. Stay unified, stay as one. Paul reminds us, he responds, that God justifies the Gentiles just like he justifies the Jews. There's no distinction. The Jews were to be, they had the law, they should have been the greatest evangelists in the world, but they hoarded it and they didn't share it. They kept it to themselves, right? Do you remember the story of Jonah? God asked Jonah to go to Nineveh to preach the good news to the Gentiles, and Jonah went the opposite direction. We walk by faith and not by sight. And Jonah couldn't see or didn't like what he saw. Amen. I mean, let's be real, right? When God calls us, sometimes we can see where it's going to go. We just don't want to go. And Jonah didn't want to go. And so Jonah goes the opposite direction. God sends a giant fish to reroute Jonah, who eventually goes back to Nineveh. Read the story in Jonah in the Bible if you want to later. Jonah finally goes, and we see one of the greatest revivals in history that ever took place in Nineveh. Because Jonah went where God told him to go. And he went eventually against his own will, maybe, but he did it. See, God has a heart for the entire world. God's desire is to reach the entire world with the message of justification by faith alone through Christ alone that took place at the cross of Jesus. There's no distinctions. There's no nationalities that God doesn't want to save. There's no bondage. There's no religion that Jesus doesn't want to save people from. There's only one way for a Jew, for a Gentile, for ISIS, for a Muslim, for anyone to be saved, and it's only through Christ alone. We must stay humble. And we must unify and believe that Jesus came for everyone, that we would find oneness and unity in him. Paul makes this point that there's only one God, which you might say, well, of course, but for these people that worshiped many gods, and even in our day where we worship many gods, Paul would remind us that there is only one way to justify those who have sinned. God is not divided among himself, and because there's one God, there is one way to salvation, and it's through Jesus. All of our distinctions are removed when we come to the cross of Jesus. You remember when Jesus is crucified, there's this dividing wall, this curtain that gets torn. See, the dividing wall between Jews and Gentiles now are one in Christ. There's no distinction. There's only one body, one church. I know that's crazy because there's 400,000 denominations, but there's one church. There's not a Jewish church and a Gentile church. There's not a Baptist church and a Presbyterian church and a Methodist church. There is one church. And it's comprised of all of those who have been justified by faith in Jesus. And so we're humble and we're united. And there's no other way but the name of Jesus to come to the Father. And the final thought that Paul gives us as we wrap up chapter 3 is that he says we must be obedient. We must be obedient. Romans 3:31, after saying this, he says, well, do we then just nullify the law? Does it just not mean anything anymore? He says, not at all. Rather, we uphold the law. And what Paul's saying is after we come to Jesus in humility, after we come to Jesus laying down all of our differences, all of our distinctions, and coming together in the name of Jesus, the third implication is that the law is actually established and upheld in our lives. See, justification doesn't nullify the use of a moral law. It doesn't mean that the law doesn't matter. You don't just say, well, because God saved me from everything, that now it doesn't matter. I can continue sinning. You'll see Paul multiple times say, well, because the grace of God is there for me, should I just keep sinning? By no means do we cheapen God's grace. Specifically, right here, Paul's talking about the moral law, which we know as the Ten Commandments. There is still a moral obligation for us to obey the moral commands of God. Because of God's grace, it doesn't mean that none of the law matters. There is an obligation, and I know this is not popular in our world, to say that we still must obey the moral standard of a holy God. Justification is not a free pass for us to live however we want. We're still under these moral imperatives of the Ten Commandments. And oftentimes I'll have conversations and people will say, well, isn't that the old law? And we're saved by grace apart from the law, and faith in Christ is what saves us. Absolutely. But listen, Jesus came and raised the bar. Amen. Like, I'm pretty good. And I say this a lot. I'm pretty good. Practicing pride in the middle of a message about it, sorry. But I'm pretty good about like not breaking the Ten Commandments. Like, I'm not considering whether I should go out and kill somebody today. I'm not considering whether or not I should go steal my neighbor's car because it's nicer than mine. I'm not considering that. I'm not planning on building a big golden calf today to worship. But I am considering hating somebody. I am considering judging somebody. The flesh inside of me is considering desiring someone's life that seems easier than mine, or somebody's profession that seems less challenging, or wanting somebody's vehicle that they have that I probably could get a loan and buy. There is still a sinful part of me that does wrestle with when Jesus said, if you look at your brother with judgment, it's the same as hatred and murder. That if you look at a woman with adultery, if you look lustfully at something or someone, it's the same thing as committing adultery. If you hate your brother, it's the same thing as murder. Friends, we have a moral obligation to be obedient to what God has asked us. It's not a free pass. We don't just sit around and go, the Ten Commandments were for the old law. That doesn't matter anymore for me. Because even if that was true, which it's not, that the Old Testament says don't murder, Jesus said don't murder, and then Jesus said, and if you hate someone, you killed them. The standard is much higher for those who follow Jesus. We're still under the moral law of God. The law of God is binding on our hearts, and we are accountable for the way that we live. And so Paul reminds us, in light of the good news that Jesus justifies us on the cross, is that not good news? That Jesus can justify anyone no matter their sin. And if I was justified when I was 12 and you were justified when you were 80, we are fully and equally sons and daughters of Jesus. We are one body in Christ through his death, burial, resurrection, through the power of Jesus on the cross, you and I can be saved. And because of that, we don't nullify the law. We don't dismiss the law. Instead, we uphold it. And we obey what God asks. And we choose to follow even when we can't see what's on the other side. There are things that I wrestle with God. I'm like, I don't understand why you want me to do this. It doesn't make any sense. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know where this is going. I don't know how safe this is going to be. We have to do it. Why? Because we walk by faith and not by sight. And we can't just sing about it. We have to do it. We can't just sing about it. And so we have to stay humble, and we have to stay as one church. And I know that's really hard depending on how you've been brought up. It's really hard, but listen, if you believe in one way to the Father through Jesus, you are on my team. You're on my team. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through and we're all level at the feet of Jesus. And so we come together as one church and we're obedient and we uphold the law and we do what God asks us even when we can't see where it's gonna take us. Can you imagine the chaos in a zoo if all of the impalas just came together and said, dude, I don't know what's over there. Let's just jump, right? We would have the same thing that we had in Cincinnati, right? With that monkey or whatever it was. Like, it would be on the news. And I wonder what would happen if a church of Jesus would all come together in humility as one and obey God and take the gospel to the lost and say, I have no idea what's out there. I have no idea what's going to happen. I'm probably going to have to spray Febreze after I get all the smoky smell out of my house. But God's asking me to invite these people to my house. God's asking me to take these people out to lunch. God's asking me to buy this guy a car. God's asking me to provide this kid with a backpack for school. And I don't know if anything's going to come from it, but God asked me, and so I'm going to obey. Somebody came to mind that you're supposed to ask to be in the children's program, and you don't know what's going to happen. Maybe their family will come to Jesus. But we don't do it because so often we walk by sight and not by faith. And we walk by what we can see and by what we believe and by our experience and by what our friends tell us and by what Facebook tells us and by what our politicians tell us. But I'm telling you, if we walk by faith in the justification of our Lord Jesus, we will see impalas and powerful followers of Jesus creating chaos for the kingdom. Who's in? Like, I want to jump 30 feet, right? I want to do something God-sized with my life, not because of anything I can do, but because of what he can do when we're obedient, when we're humble, and when we're united. So church, let's do it. This is what Paul's calling us to in understanding that we're saved by faith through Christ. And we don't always know what's on the other side, but we do know that victory is coming. We have the promise that he's coming back for his kids. When God sits around the table and they pull out the card, if the world was going to end, Jesus, who would you save? And he says, I'm going back for the church that I died for. Come on. Like, that's good. I'm going back for the people that I love, that I died for, that gave their lives for me, that jumped when they didn't know what they were jumping into, that went when they didn't know what they were supposed to do. They went to Nineveh when I asked them to do it. I didn't have to bring a fish. They followed by faith and not by sight. And the church would follow Jesus by faith and not by sight. We would see revival, I promise. If we would start on our knees in humility and pray, we would see the power of God unleashed. When was the last time we prayed? When was the last time we jumped the 3-foot fence? Stay humble, be united, and obey Jesus. Somebody here has been resisting God asking you to follow him and surrender to him, and you don't want to because you don't know what that means. Jesus said, in this world, you will have trouble, but take heart, he's overcome it. I'll tell you what it means. It means that you're gonna suffer and live and serve the risen King who conquered death, but he will be with you in all of it. And I can't promise that it's gonna go easy, and I can't promise that everything's gonna make sense, but I know that he's coming back for his children, and he's coming back in victory, amen? Like, we gotta get a little more excited about this sometimes. Come on, let's get on our knees, let's be obedient, let's be prayerful, let's be united in Christ, and let's obey our Father.